Assault it's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, scriptures tell us that my people are destroyed because they don't know, for a lack of knowledge. And I would say that people are also destroyed because they know so much that's not true and so much that it doesn't really matter. Our minds are filled with just meaningless drivel, basketball statistics and baseball statistics and rock movies and music and trivial stuff. See, one of the goals of I call it the Antichrist team, the other team, the God-hating team, one of their goals is to absolutely and totally distract us, okay? Divide and conquer is what they want to do. I was thinking about this morning. I want you to join me in this thought process as we dig into these things here. When was the last time you turned on your TV and you saw a program, a news program, anything pointing out how much we all have in common? Our commonality. Now, they talk about that, but when is the last time this happened in my family yesterday. My wife came home with a story. It didn't happen to us. She came home with a story of a teacher at school got in trouble because she'd mentioned one of her students was having some emotional problems. And here it's because she's the only dark-colored child in the classroom. And the teacher said to her, well, we have a new student that's moving in, and she's a black student, and so you'll have something in common. Now, if the teacher said it in a loving way, right? She said it in a loving way. But the child carries it home to the mom tells the principal says racist. We know where the story goes, right? But see, that's how we're programmed to think, right? That two people who are same color skin now share everything in common. Would we ever think to go up to a fat kid and say, hey, listen, you're going to feel a lot better. We got a fatty coming in tomorrow. I got another fatty. Be just like you. You'll feel good. Or go into one and say, man, we got another, you're 6'2". We got another beanpole coming in here. You two guys will just have everything in common. And see what we try to, they have done such a great job of programming us to classify and divide and put everybody into a particular box that we as believers have a hard time getting out of that box as well. See, the color of your skin ain't got to do with nothing. I drive out here to an area outside of where I live. In fact, kind of out where we're having the Marzulli and Dizdar conference. I'm going to tell you, there's some dirt poor people out there. They got a lot in common with other dirt poor people. That had nothing to do with the color of their skin. And so when was the last time that you watched anything on TV that just brought us all together? See, they don't want to do that. They don't want to have us come together as Americans. Now we're hyphenated Americans. We're lesbian Americans. We're gay Americans. We're black Americans and white Americans and Hispanic Americans and illegal Americans. Everything is about our differences because the only way they can successfully conquer us is to divide and conquer. That's what's going on. We'll show you some of that here today. We're going to dive into Sarge held my feet to the fire. Said, you going to talk about this stuff or not? If you are, get going on it. Okay, now listen, before I do get going on it, don't forget L.A. Marzulli and Russ Dizdar are coming May 19th, 20th, and 21st. And now I'm finally starting to hear from some of the local people, and they're saying, hey, wait a minute, are there any tickets left? Let me make this really clear. There are tickets left. You can get a ticket at the door. We'll have a will call. If you're interested, here's what I would say. If you're within 100 miles, you're crazy not to come to this thing. I'm just telling you. But okay, But if you're going to come, just email me, say, hey, we're going to come. So at least from a food standpoint, a chair standpoint, we have all that stuff ready to go. We're going to kick off Friday night, 7 o'clock. We're going to have a brief little time of Russ and me and L.A. will share a little bit, and they'll have some fellowship. And, yes, you'll get a chance to talk to L.A., and, yes, you'll get a chance to talk to Russ. And yes, you will. And we'll do some fellowship and have some food. And, and then Saturday all day we'll get into it. And Sunday then we're going to go to the Newark Earthworks. So if you think you're going to come, just kind of let us know. Just email me, say, we think we're going to be there. And we'll make accommodations to it for you. Looking forward to doing that. I was on Hagman and Hagman last night. I only say that because I want to say this before we really get rolling. Larry Nichols was on last night. Larry Nichols, we all know who Larry is, and the Clinton family guy. And Larry was on last night with Hagman, first half hour. Get a chance, go back and check that out. And Larry made a point that I had never even thought about, and I'm going to lay it at the table for you here this morning, is that things are getting really, really bad for both sides. Certainly it's getting bad for the deep state or the New World Order. Call them whatever you want to. They appear to have brought stuff right to the brink of what they wanted. And whether you want to admit it or not, it was a surprise that Trump got elected. Kind of messed up their plans, but they're never without a plan. Their plan was to, you know, chaos, create chaos, and then create chaos would lead to government crackdown. Call it martial law, call it whatever you want to. They were heading that way, but Donald Trump became a real cog in the wheels, or threw something in the wheel that broke up the wheels. And that was the fact that if they were to declare some type of martial law or some type of government crackdown, the last person the deep state wants in charge of that's Donald Trump. So if they were to declare, if they would declare martial law a year ago, if they would have declared it, Barack Obama, he's president forever. He's king forever. Or Hillary would be queen forever and the deep state would be okay. Well, they don't want Trump being king forever. Because whether we've come to realize this or not, he isn't really one of them. He really isn't. They're all around him, but he really isn't one of them. And so Larry Nichols said that we got to see what's going on. And what's going on is they're doing everything they can to get Donald Trump out of office because they don't want to declare some type of government shutdown, martial law with Trump in office. And somebody said, well, what about, you know, they get him out. Well, my goodness, Mike Pence will be in there, and he's more conservative than Trump is. And Larry said, come on, man. Conservative? Are you kidding me? He said Mike Pence would fold like a cheap suit. They would bulldoze Mike Pence in a week. And there's probably some truth to that, right? So that's kind of the game that's being played and the game that's going on. And what I want to try to do is, again, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We don't really understand what's going on and how we got to where we are. And I want to try to unfold some of that today. It's a kind of a scouting report, if it would be okay. Kind of a scouting report on the other team and how we got here and what we can do at this point. When I went on Hagman and Hagman last night, I had some technical difficulties. I had to do it by phone. Larry Nichols brought in the natural, what's going on in the natural world, and did a good job of it. And then I came in and I said, wait a minute, here's what's really going on. And I went to Psalm 2 and says, what? Why did the heathen rage? We read it yesterday. And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth. Well, who are they? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. The rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Do you understand this? Do you see this picture? That the leaders, the governments of the world are working together to take counsel against who? Against the Lord. Against the Lord and his anointed. Against the Lord and his people. And so what I've been trying to tell you for the year and a half that we've been on here, the devil has a team and God has a team and God's team ain't playing. We're not playing. And so we see that the other side is doing everything they can. Folks, can't you see the clampdown coming on Christianity? And what if they're in the rapture? What if there isn't? What if we're going to be here in a totalitarian state? You say, oh, that can never happen to America. Really? You sit close, because I'm going to show you that it's already happening everywhere that we look. The gospel of Jesus Christ isn't going free. See, they're not trying to silence Muslim speech. They're not trying to silence Buddhist speech. They're not trying to silence atheist speech. They're only trying to silence Christian speech. Why? Because if they shut the mouth of Christians, they shut the mouth of the Lord. Christianity is going to continue on. We did a program last week showing that it's expanding around the world. Christianity is exploding around the world, but it's dying here. Western civilization, it's dying here. Man, we sit around and pray for the rapture. Pooh. So that was the point I made last night on Hagman and Hagman. Wake up, man. What's going on with God's team? Come on here, church. Come on here. But you know, we're designed, Christians, to go along to get along. One of the hardest things for us to do is to get somebody out. Get somebody out and fight. They don't want to do it. They always want somebody else to do it. It's the genesis of the article that I wrote yesterday about the pastors. Ollie, Ollie, oxen free. Come on in. Come on out now, pastors. Come on out. You can come out and talk, but they're not going to. So I'm going to try to show us how we've been clamped down on how that whole thing's happened. Anybody got a comment, question, anything for the good of the group before I really dive into it? Mm-hmm. No? Okay. Well, let's go here, man. Let me get this thing going here. Let's start here. Jared, on the link of stuff that I just sent you, I want to remind you guys, okay? Here, listen. Communism is godless, okay? In communism, government is God. It's just, and the only way communism can be able to take root is to destroy the true God, the true and living God. See, the communists don't care if you're a Buddhist. The communists don't care if you're a Muslim. Not really. The communists care if you're a Christian, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Do you understand that the enemy, the devil, understands all this? He understands the power of truth, the power of a risen Christ, the power of the gospel of the kingdom of God. He understands it. And so his attack from the beginning has been against Christianity, the seed of the serpent and seed of the woman. And remember, in the Ten Commandments, Yahweh says, I am the Lord thy God. I will have no other gods before me, meaning there must be other gods. I guess there's a difference between the big G and the little G, but there must be other gods. We create them in our own minds. I mean, you know where this whole thing goes. So the attack that we're seeing, and turn on Limbaugh and turn on all those unsaved guys that I was talking about the other day, made all of you mad, taking counsel with the ungodly, listening to them. I made a point yesterday. I was doing some outside work. I put my headphones on, and I listened to about an hour and 45 minutes of Rush, solid Rush Limbaugh. And you know, he offers no solutions. The only solution he ever offers is get rid of Democrats. That's it. That's as far as it ever goes. And then you listen to people who call in, and what's their solution? Yeah, those damn Democrats, those damn liberals, over and over and over. How do we even call that radio? And it's all part of the programming that's going on. Boy, I got a couple websites stuff here. I'm going to show you some good stuff as we dive into this. But I think it's important for us to understand that the battle of communism is to the devil what evangelical Christianity is supposed to be to Christians. See, the communists want to spread their gospel, the gospel of government, larger government. And Christianity wants to spread the message of self-government, that Jesus came to set us free from sin, that whom the Lord sets free is free indeed, right? That's the message of Christianity. And you're certainly smart enough to know right now that the powers that be understand that not only the powers that be, how about the pastors? Do the pastors of America really believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only answer? Because you hear them say that all the time, right? They just need the gospel. They just need to be saved. We hear that all the time. And yet they are making no attempt to try to, dare I say it, forcefully embed the gospel of Jesus back into our culture the way it used to be. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has suffered violence, and violent men take it by force, right? So the kingdom of God has been stolen from us, violated. So what should we do? Well, as we see now, I've been trying to say for 100 and some days, now's the time for the church to rise up and demand these things. Some things be taken away and some things be reinstituted. And we know right now that if we were paid, I'm not suggesting this, but if the American government were to pay missionaries to go into the inner cities, if we were to pay missionaries to go into our public schools, we could turn this country around again in a generation. They don't want to solve the problems. Don't you see this? They want the problems to be, the devil wants us drawn away from Christ, and the government wants us to serve them. And so the government schools in particular, they are the evangelical arm of communism. That's what's going on, folks. And we're in a position right now, we won't even demand they stop killing babies. We still supposedly have our guy in the White House and the House and the Senate. We still won't demand that they stop killing babies. We won't demand. People are destroyed for lack of knowledge because the dumb people who are listening to Limbaugh and listening to Beck and listening, I don't mean it in that sense. The people who, that's the greatest wisdom that they're getting it from Limbaugh and from Beck and from Savage. And that's the greatest wisdom they're getting. Well, no wonder we're so screwed up. There is no gospel in anything any of those guys say. With me? And so open your eyes and understand this. The left, the God haters, are doing everything they can to block the gospel of the kingdom of God. Somebody weigh in here before I pull the first thing up. Does it make sense? Am I missing something here? That they would teach a young guy in the first grade self-control? That is impossible outside the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they continue to tax us and tax us and tax us to pay for the consequence of an unrestrained heart. And the only thing that will restrain the heart is the gospel of the kingdom of God, and we will not allow that to be taught. Can't you see that there's a big conspiracy going on here? Go ahead, Mike.
Part of the problem is, too, is that we don't really know what salvation means. We keep giving this image that a person stands up and says, I give my life to Christ, therefore I've got a gate, I got a key to get into heaven now. And that's not what salvation is about. It's got to be a bigger picture. It's about life. Yeah. Christ talked about life, abundant life, and how we can living together here on earth to try to bring more of the kingdom over the hearts of men. And that's why we don't get it. We don't
get it, and we bought this lie that the last thing we need is a strong Christian in office. But we have actually Christians that believe that, right? They say because that could become dangerous, and then all of a sudden, now we got a theologian in chief. Well, if you got a theologian in chief, there's something the hell wrong with you. What, you know what we got right now? We got a devil in chief. Nobody cares about the devil in chief. We had one of those for 8 years, and nobody seemed to care about that. But oh, don't give us a Christian in chief. Oh, no, no. Oh, no. No. See, it's about restraining the heart of men. And what are our laws doing? Our laws are simply now taking the restraints off of the heart of a man. Do whatever you want to do. If it feels good, do it, yada, yada. This has not happened by accident. Okay? Anybody else want to weigh in there? Because whether you know it or not, I'm nailing it. Go ahead, Robert.
I was just thinking the modern day churches, like the church in Jesus' time, the people who were put in place at the church were those that would bow to the Roman authority or whatever. And the modern day church wants to set everything up like an interior decorator. They want the inside of the house and the words that come out of their mouth to be neutral, because then it'll go with anything that comes into the house.
That's right, brother. That's right.
And we got to stand up and fight against it. Amen, Coach.
But I got to promise you this, Robert. There aren't going to be many of us. There aren't going to be many of us. Okay? There aren't going to be many of us. Now, listen, there's going to be a lot of us. There's not going to be many of us. Those are not the same. There are a lot of us who are waking up. See, that's why we're at a critical time. I hear you, George. Hang on a second. That's why we're at a critical time, Steve. We've come to a confluence here. What's happened is the left's plan has now been exposed, and it is coming in direct conflict with the kingdom of God. We are at that point. And what's going to happen is the kingdom of God is either going to push back or we're going to get rolled over. We are at that point right now. I can't emphasize that enough. We are at the fourth and one. We're there. It's fourth and one. And the whole game's going to change on what happens here soon. And again, our team's still in the locker room. We don't understand. Somehow, some way, the Lord has been able to block, even without players on the field. But it's not going to hold very long. Go ahead, George.
Hey, Coach, just to kind of tie in, you know, church is absolutely not relevant today. It's not really. You know, Lindell sent me an article, and I heard this last night. We're just a handful of years away from driverless cars, all this technology. The church isn't even talking about it. That's just one thing, but it's not relevant to our daily life. So since they're not relevant, we have to become extremely relevant. You know, and these big mega churches, they might as well just apply for an expansion in the NFL and put together a good football team that would entertain people and make a lot more money.
Well, first of all, George, that's another horse I could jump on and ride. They're trying to destroy the NFL, actually, because it is a bastion of manliness. They're trying to destroy it. We will see the NFL go out of existence in our lifetime. It won't be anything near what we see, okay? It won't be. The man standing up and knocking another man down. No, it's head injuries, all that. That's all coming. Anybody else? What are you thinking there, Rod? You're kind of silent today. Doesn't matter. Are you with me? Do we see what's going on? And so the infusion or the injection of Donald Trump into the system has gummed up the works. I really, really believe that. And I want to show you how this whole thing has come about. I want to take you back. I got a lot of stuff with me. Bear with me and just pray that the Lord gets me heading in the right direction here today, okay? Or helps make some sense out of this. Jared, I sent you a whole bunch of stuff down there. I know I did, Jared. Here's what I want you to do. Let's go, first of all, to communist goals. It's about the fifth thing down there. Because I want to remind you guys, okay? I want to remind you that this has all happened. And I'm 60. How old am I? I'm 64. I was born in 52. This has all happened in my lifetime. All of this stuff. Now, we know about the creature from Jekyll Island with the Federal Reserve in 1913, I think it was, and when the New World Order started to get involved with the income tax and all that stuff. That happened in the early 1900s, but it really began to take root into the 1950s. After the Second World War, this stuff really began to take off. That's me, baby boomers. That was me, okay? And we have to go back to a pristine, although it wasn't pristine, go back to a pristine view of our mind of what America was like back in the 1940s. Remember, we came out of the Great Depression. People didn't have anything. Those same people that didn't have anything were thrust into a world war. We won the world war. The economy boomed. Everything was good. And all of a sudden, it was the 1960s. And what the hell happened? Well, here's what happened, okay? This is, again, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this. This is a reminder. This is the communist takeover of America, 45 declared goals of the communists. This was read in the communist congressional record on January 10th, 1963. Okay? Now, hang on. This was made public in 1963. How long had they been working behind the scenes to put this declaration in place? I mean, I don't know. We have open communists in government now. Open communists. They're not even hiding it. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time reading down through this, but I'm going to remind you of some things that the communists in 1963 said that they were going to do, their goals. Let's start down through there, Jared. Let's not read all this. Let's get down to the list. I'm not going to read all 45 of them. I'm going to take you here in a second to a reminder of Marx's 10 planks. Okay, here we go. Here they are. Number one, the U.S. acceptance of coexistence as the only alternative to atomic war. Two, the U.S. willingness to capitulate in preference to engaging in atomic war. Three, develop the illusion that total disarmament by the United States would be a demonstration of moral strength. give up our weapons. Why would they want us to give up our weapons? Hard to fight when you can't shoot, isn't it? Four, permit free trade between all nations, regardless of communist affiliation, regardless of whether or not items could be used for war. Five, extension of long-term loans to Russia and Soviet satellites. Provide American aid to all nations, regardless of the communist domination. Grant recognition of Red China, admission of Red China into the UN. Set up East and West Germany, separate states in spite of Khrushchev's promise not to. Prolong the conferences to ban atomic tests. Allow all Soviet satellites and individual representation in the UN. You understand what they're setting up, huh? Promote the UN as the only hope for mankind. 12, resist any attempt to outlaw the Communist Party. 13, do away with all loyalty oaths. 14, continue giving Russia access to the U.S. Patent Office. Hey, isn't it amazing? It's still the Russians we say we're fighting. Isn't it crazy? Huh? Oh, my. Capture one or both of the political parties in the United States. Use technical decisions of the courts to weaken basic American institutions by claiming the activists violate civil rights. 17, get control of the schools. Use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Gain control of all student newspapers. 19, use student riots to foment public protests against programs of organizations which are under communist attack. Student riots. Can you say Antifa and all these people out in the streets? Can you say Ferguson, Missouri? Can you say Berkeley? Can you say a million lesbian march? Boy, infiltrate the press. Get control of book review assignments, editorial writing, policy making petitions, gain control of key positions in radio, TV, motion pictures, continue discrediting American culture by degrading all forms of artistic expression. Have you noticed that our art's no longer art? Art is now not even something that you can figure out why that thing's art. Now we got a crucifix submerged in urine, and that's art, right? Take away everything that was beautiful in America and make it ugly. Control art, civics, and directors of art museums. 24, eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling it censorship, violation of free speech. 25, break down cultural standards and morality by promoting pornography, obscenity in books. 1963, this is read into the congressional record. They're giving us their game plan. where am I? Eliminate, infiltrate, 26.5. Break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and TV. 26, present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. 27, infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion as social religion. Discredit the Bible and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need religion as a crutch. Eliminate prayer or any phrase of religious expression in the schools on the ground that it violates separation of church and state. 29, discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate, old-fashioned, now the step. 30, discredit the American founding fathers. Present them as selfish aristocrats who had no concern for the common man. 31, belittle all forms of American culture and discourage the teaching of American history on the grounds that it was only a minor part of the big picture. 32, support any socialist movement to give centralized control over any part of the culture, education, social agencies, welfare programs, mental health clinics. 33, eliminate all laws and procedures which interfere with the operation of the communist apparatus. Eliminate the House Committee on Un-American Activities. Discredit and eventually dismantle the FBI. Infiltrate and gain control of more the unions. Infiltrate and gain control of big business. Transfer some of the powers of arrest from the police to social agencies. Treat children's services. Treat all behavioral problems as psychiatric disorders, which no one but psychiatrists can understand or treat. 39, dominate the psychiatric profession. Use mental health laws as a means of gaining coercive control over those who oppose the communists. 40, discredit the family as an institution. Encourage promiscuity and easy divorce. 41, emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influences of their parents. Attribute prejudices, mental blocks, and retarding of children to the suppressive influence of their parents. 42, create the impression that violence and insurrection are legitimate aspects of the American tradition. That students and special interest groups should rise up and use united forces to solve economical, political, and social problems. About done. Overthrow all colonial governments before native populations are ready for self-government. Don't let anybody else rise up self-government. internationalize the Panama Canal. Remember 1963. Repeal the Connolly Reservation to the United States. Repeal the Connolly Reservation so the United States can prevent the world court from seizing jurisdiction over domestic problems. There you are, boys. 1963. Now, we ought to go back through these things as their stated goals and ask ourselves, how many of these things have they already achieved? It's mind-blowing. Comment.
Coach, yep. one of the things that had changed when you and I were kids, remember Khrushchev was beating on the table with his shoe about mm-hmm. how communism would take over from inside us, not
right.
some kind of aggression from outside. And that's right. what's taking place, because what happened was the image was that communism and communists were dirty dogs and they had a bad image, but they changed their clothing to make them look like we're just like everybody else.
They became school teachers.
Yeah, and a nice image that we could accept. And so when you accept the image, you bring in the Trojan horse right into your midst, and that's what happened.
Yep. They bring in college professors, right? Now it's the intellectuals. The intellectuals are the ones who are creating the policy, right? The intellectuals are the ones creating all this chaos that we see in the government. All of them are. Why? Because they're playing on the other team. They're playing on the other team. And they're doing such a great job of it that they're making devilish rules and regulation and forcing Christian kids to abide under them. Come on here. Come on. Anybody else want to say anything? I got some more stuff to lay it down. I don't want to overload you. Is the picture becoming clear to anybody out there? Can we see what's happened to us? The revolution that they're talking about's already taken place.
Well, Coach, yeah, I had a school board meeting last night. We voted on pre-K, getting kids in school at the age of 3.
There you go.
And the psychiatrist, everything they said in there is so. Here's what gets me: one of the reasons for pre-K, getting kids in at 3, is because it'll help prevent special education. They'll prevent the special education problems later on. Well, if you can prevent sure special education by a pre-K program, then how do they have a special education problem? It's just it's a teaching problem.
And, well, it's not a teaching problem. It's a teaching technique. They want it, Jared. They want those problems. See? Oh, my goodness. And see, we still... I hate to beat this horse, but I'm going to whack him one more time. We still have Christians that think the public schools are good. Come on. Come on. Christian parents who think the public schools are good. They're good. They're teaching my kids good stuff, right? Well, let's find out here. Jared, let's go to the first one, Jared. Schools and communism. All right? This is just a short little 3-minute video, and it's nothing more than some quotes about the guys who set this whole mess up and what they had to say. So keeping in mind, they were after your Christian son, right? We just read what they wanted to do. They wanted to get control of the education. Here we go. Go ahead, Jared. The following quotes are from influential people. The minds play a crucial role in the formation and development of the school system as you know today. Here are the quotes.
Okay. I think that's a good decision. What colors have you seen out
there? White.
School is to be a factory in which raw products, children, are to be shaped and formed into finished products, manufactured like nails. And the specifications for manufacturing will come from government and industry.
1905.
The chief end of education is to impose on the young the ideal of subordination to the common aims of organized humanity. Give us the young, and we will create a new mind and a new earth in a single generation.
Benjamin Kidd, 1918.
Every government that has been in charge of education for a generation will be able to control its subjects securely without the need of armies or policemen.
Bertrand Russell, 1953.
In our dreams, we have limitless resources, and the people yield themselves with perfect docility to our molding hand. The present educational conventions fade from our minds, and unhampered by tradition, we work our own goodwill upon a grateful and responsive folk. We shall not try to make these people or any of their children into philosophers or men of learning or men of science. The task we set before ourselves is very simple. We will organize children and teach them to do in perfect ways the things their fathers and mothers are doing in an imperfect way.
Rockefeller, 1906.
We must continue to produce an uneducated social class that will sweep the streets, unclog sewers, scrub toilets, pick up trash, bus tables, or mop floors, no matter what the wages.
Gerald Bracey, 1991.
A new public mind is to be created. How? Only by creating tens of millions of individual minds and welding them into a new social mind. Through the schools of the world, we shall disseminate a new concept of government.
John Dewey, 1933.
Education must be used to condition the people to accept social change. The chief function of schools is to plan the future of society.
Harold Rugg, 1933.
Education does not mean teaching people to know. It means teaching them to behave as they do not behave.
National Institute of Mental Health, 1962.
Today's corporate sponsors want to see their money used in ways to line up with business objectives. This is a young generation of corporate sponsors, and they have discovered the advantages of building long-term relationships educational institutions.
I'm sorry. Suzanne Comforth, 1998.
We want to accomplish by education what dictators in Europe are seeking to do by compulsion and force.
National Education Association.
Of the National Education Association.
Okay, Jared, you can stop that there. Now, Jared, I want you to pull up here for me. Keep quick on your feet. Let's go to Romans 12, I believe it is. Okay? Hey, folks, the devil knows this book. This devil knows this book better than most Christians know this book. The devil understands the game plan, okay? He understands God's game plan. So Romans chapter 1, Paul, writing to the Romans, says this: I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. Hang on. How do you conform something? Let's just pause there. Let's think about that word a minute. What does it mean to conform? What's that mean, Roger, to conform?
Means to fall in line.
Means to fall in line, to follow everybody else, to be like everybody else.
And
the Apostle Paul, to be a part of, to not make waves. See, we have conform, we have transform, we have reform, we have deform. So we have a form, right? So what are you going to do with that form? You going to transform it? That's what Jesus does. He transforms it. We going to conform it? That's what communists do. They want to conform you to get you into a common set of beliefs. That's to conform. We have a reform, means to start and do it all over again. But the Apostle Paul tells us, most importantly, don't let them conform you to what? To this world. But be ye transformed. There it is. Conformed or transformed. Which do we want to teach our children? Do we want to teach them to be conformed or to be transformed? Because if we teach them to be conformed, we are going to have to reform, because they will be deformed, and we're going to have to start the whole thing all over again. We are there. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, since your body's a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the way you think. The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So Christian parents, when you send your kids to public schools, you are teaching them to conform their mind. Anybody want to argue? Anybody want to say amen? Anybody want to say what the H-E double hockey sticks is the church thinking today, still today? And I'll bet you this, Roger, where you live, and JR, where you live, and I don't know if any other Buckeyes down here, I bet you this, they put a new tax levy on the ballot for schools. People will vote for it. Why? They're conformed. They're conformed to this world. They're brainwashed. And we as Christians know that the only way that the children are ever going to be rescued, the only way that we as a people are ever going to be rescued, is through transformation. The mind of Christ, to teach our children the minds of Christ, not the right ways of the world. Jesus said, love not the world, nor the things of the world. And we take our kids and we put them in school and we teach them the ways of the world. Except we don't really. We don't really. Got the next video. Hang on, stay right there. I told you I've been armed for bear here for quite a while. Jared, let's play that next one. Education. This is only 2 minutes. This is only 2 minutes. This is only 2 minutes. Let this baby sink in. Think about this a minute. Hang on a minute. Think about those kids we see out protesting in the streets and how freaking stupid they are. College educated people who ain't got no common sense at all. There is no such thing as common sense. And understand, that's happened on purpose. Okay? It's happened on purpose. Watch this 2 minute clip. Go ahead, Jared.
Let's talk about education. In most Western countries, school is compulsory and state-enforced. Truancy can result in fines or even jail time for parents. This isn't just a result of state coercion. On a cultural level, education holds a sacred status much like that of religion. This is an institution that most never question, and that's a problem. Did you ever wonder how it is that kids spend 13 years from kindergarten to high school supposedly being prepared for life, yet when they get out, they don't have any real skills? 13 years and kids aren't taught how to grow a garden, how to build a house, how to fix a car, how to balance a checkbook, or how to cook a healthy meal. 13 years and kids come out without even rudimentary concepts of how to organize or lead groups of people, without even a glimmer of understanding of how to resolve conflicts nonviolently. And we call this an education? Yes, we're taught how to read and write and to perform some basic math, but we aren't taught how to think for ourselves. We aren't taught the principles of logic or how to question an ideology. What we are taught is how to sit at a desk and listen obediently as the world is packaged into a neat little box that we are to accept without question. We're taught to regurgitate that information for tests, to give the answer that those in authority demand. But most of all, we're conditioned to conform. And the reward for faithfully jumping through all of these hoops for 13 years is a worthless piece of paper that no employer even asked to see. Kids exit high school barely qualified to flip burgers at McDonald's. And even for that, they have to be trained. 13 years is a long time. That's most of our childhood. To have this much time taken by force with such pathetic results is unacceptable. The problem here isn't a lack of funding. The problem here isn't poorly trained teachers, lax regulations, or low-quality curriculum. The problem is our entire educational paradigm. The system isn't designed to prepare children for the real world. It's designed to format their minds and condition them for a life of subservience. It's designed to create a population of individuals just smart enough to fill out paperwork and punch a time card, but too stupid to question the system itself or the authority of those running it. If we want to change course, we cannot ignore this aspect of our enslavement. There's no point laboring to wake up other adults in our lives if we send our children to be programmed by the state. The revolution of the mind must include a revolution in education. If this is a message you feel the public needs to hear, then be sure
okay.
to like, favorite, and share this.
I hate to hit you in the face with such simplicity, but boy, is that ever the truth? Is that ever, you know, both of our son-in-laws are involved in a business where they hire teenagers. And that's what people always joked about. Said, you know, when you open a McDonald's, they don't have a McDonald's. If you open a McDonald's, all you're doing is you're getting in bed with a bunch of teenagers. And boy, is that ever the truth. And you know what they're saying over and over and over and over again? They're seeing it, these two responsible young guys who are running a business. You know what they're seeing? Exactly what we just saw there. Kids can't come to work on time. They're not responsible when they get there. They don't see what the duties are. They're just average. You ought to have to do. They have no sense of responsibility. They have no sense of authority. And they got a high school diploma. And, you know, I have people, several guys that I've worked with that don't have jobs. And they say, Coach, I can't get a job because they ask me if I have a high school diploma. Okay, now I'm going to make some Christians mad. I said, well, what do you put down there? They said, well, I put down no. So why do you do that? Are they going to look at it? Listen, they're not looking for your high school diploma. They want to know, can you do a job? Will you get here on time? Will you clean up after yourself? Will you be nice to the customers? Never in your life are you ever going to walk in and some manager's going to say, hey, before I hire you, let me see your high school diploma. I want to see how you did in phys ed health. Going to make sure that you passed okay through family living and whatever. See, but once again, they've programmed us to believe that education is the end all. And my dear friends, it isn't. It isn't. We have, the church has fallen into that paradigm. I'm laying a foundation for where we're going to go. Somebody jump in here real quick. Reese came and joined me.
Where are we going?
We're going to go to the ACLU and the Southern Poverty Law Center. And I'm going to expose to us over the next few days the number of teens that the other side has, and we don't have any.
Dave?
Yeah?
You know, we've talked on the huddle this past year about the school system, and I don't know if I'm being pessimistic, but if that 8 hours a day, 4 or 5 days a week, it continues to be present, do we stand a chance? Do we really?
Well, Thomas Jefferson, I think it was, said, if the people think they can remain ignorant and free, they will be hoping for what never was and never will be. You cannot be ignorant and free. You can't. And we are overeducated. You know this, Roger. You're seeing it every day in your office. People with college degrees have no common sense. They have no idea financially. They have no idea the way mortgages work. They have no idea. And it all leads to some type, one another, of an enslavement. And so what's the problem? The problem is we're our own worst enemies. We continue to go down these same paths that we've gone down before, and they're leading us into slavery and damnation.
Dave?
Mike, yes.
Michael, Dave?
Go ahead, Raj. Go ahead.
One of the problems I see in my job each day, and this is where the real danger is, when the economy has its hiccup, there is no preparation. That's the problem. And then the streets will be filled. That is a huge issue. There's no ability to withstand the hiccup short term. Forget about long term, but short term. And that's why preparedness and so forth is important in this discussion, because it's not out there. In my conference room weekly, people could not withstand hardly any type of hiccup.
Well, Roger, that's because we have very, very intelligent people, some who are on this queue right now, that think the American dollar is better than gold or silver. I mean, I'm telling you, that's takes some foolishness right there. To think that the dollar is better than a gold or silver. That's where we are, see. So this programming is all across the spectrum. Go ahead, Mike.
The problem is that we've taken blessings and great things that have been given to us, and we fell asleep, and we don't realize what we have. We're the first country in the history of the world that actually went out and taught its people how to read and write and figure, because all other countries did not have an education system like we did. But we fell asleep. Instead of teaching us and showing the struggle and the sacrifice that goes on in life, we gave our into the comfort zone, and we just let things be, and everything will just work out. And so we don't think about what sacrifice means. We don't think about the things that brought what we have and how we our mom and dad sacrificed during the World War.
Well, they sacrificed, and they had reading be important because they wanted people to be able to read the scriptures for themselves. They wanted the average person to be able to read the scriptures. And what have they stolen out of the school? Well, the one thing that would bring some type of foundational principle in regards to morality and the way one lives their lives, the scriptures, they're not even welcome in the schools anymore. See, so again, to see the devil, devil's got a great game plan. He sees our game plan. His job is to thwart our game plan. And what's our job? What do we do? Well, we pay money for him to promote his game plan. We pay money for it. And then we put our kids in the midst of all of it. And then we can't figure out, see, listen, if you really love your kids, I'm just going to tell you the truth. You really love your kids. If you were to personally educate your children, you're going to create a millionaire, because he's going to be so much smarter than the average person that he runs into. He will be a boss at 18 years old. If you homeschool him and teach him the fear and the admonition of the Lord and right from wrong, then the world's hungry for that, and we're not finding it anywhere.
And look at some of the results of homeschooling. Some of the kids that are homeschooled are so much more intelligent than the people that have been going through the 12 grades that we call an educational system. I've got some grandkids that are very intelligent because they were homeschooled and they were Christian principles that they have. And so they sound stronger than any high school kid that they are in competition with.
So I got up this morning, or my little granddaughter, Reese, stayed last night. I was down there doing some prep. She came down about 6:30. She went and sat on the couch. She's homeschooled, by the way. She went and sat on the couch, and I look over there, and she's reading a book. She's reading a book. She ain't running around looking for her medicine. She's reading a book. And because we're training her in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, the devil's going to have a hard time stealing her heart. You understand that? And why do we put our children into an environment where the devil's constantly trying to steal their hearts? I'm going to take care of this thing. My daughter, their husband, they're going to take care of this little thing. They're going to train her in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. She'll be a champion in life because she will have been properly educated, right? Not an education that the world gives us, but an education that the Lord tells us that we would give
her. Coach,
I don't want to I don't want to beat this horse, but it's so important. Go ahead.
But coach, if you put kids in the public school when they're three, they can stand in lines.
and get a minimum wage job, right?
Yeah, they're better at standing in lines. It's amazing. It's just amazing the things they do in pre-K. They're better at standing in lines. It's unbelievable.
That's right. Because why? We just saw it, right? Teach them to conform. We want to teach them to conform. What did Romans 12 tell us to do? To transform them. To get that little natural mind that they have and transform it. Have the mind of Christ. To wash their minds with the water of the word. Wash her mind with the water of the word. Transform her, not conform her. God, come on, man. Come on. And so we look across the spectrum of America. How many of our churches get this? How many of them get it? Open up schools and their churches. How many get it? And many churches, homeschoolers are still considered weird. Still, you're doing that? You're doing what? How can you teach them? What? Well, who's teaching them about sex education? Well, there's your problem. There you go. I guess I'm old-fashioned, huh? What do you think, Robert?
I say, I wonder how much Billy Graham traded his soul for to conform with the world.
Boy.
He has been around the world. He has been in every nation that I know of, and nobody ever talks bad about him, but he would touch on a subject just enough to so he could say that I talked about it, but he never stood up for it. How much is these modern day mega preachers, how much was their soul worth? I like to ask them, what did you get for it? What value did you put on your soul to mislead the rest of the people that sits in your congregation?
And Robert, the one thing that they ought to be able to do that they cannot do is they cannot discern good from evil. Listen, I go into the school sometimes, right? I deal with these kids in the schools, and I'm going to tell you something. The Christian kids are the most confused regarding morality. See, they think all morality is personal. I wouldn't do it. But who am I to tell someone else what they can do? Which, by the way, if you go back to the, what we read on the communist goals, that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to destroy all morality. Anything goes. If it feels good, do it. Tune in, turn on, tune in, drop out. Timothy Leary. Remember all that stuff? That 60s, you old guys out there, you 60 guys? Remember that? Imagine there's no heaven. Well, come on, we're here. We're here. So I said before, we're counterculture Christian. We're counterculture. We are. But we don't get it. We're counterculture and we still keep playing the game. I hear people say they want to send their kid to public schools because they can be salt and light. Yeah. Yeah, right. You're not, but your kids are, huh? Kids are. So listen, I dwelled on this longer than I meant to today. I'm on Monday, we're going to get into this. I've got right over here. I'm not going to pull it up now. I'm going to find you. Are you ready for this? 200 anti-Christian organizations who are actively working to undermine Christianity. 200 of them. 200 of them. Now, can you guys name for me 200 national organizations that are working hard to promote Christian values to our children? Can you name it? Can you name them? I didn't think so.
I can't focus on 200 churches.
Focus on the family? Yeah, right. Huh? Are you kidding me? Do you see why we're losing? Do you understand why we're losing? Do you understand why this is such an uphill climb for us? But I think the scripture still teaches that with God, all things are possible. We can still, if we would quit living with such a defeatist attitude that, well, the end's coming, there isn't anything we can do about it. If we'd quit living with that defeatist attitude, with God, all things are still possible. I believe. How much time I got there? Oh, my goodness. Somebody help bring it home.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Coach, we're in some pretty rarefied air. Plato said those who are able to see beyond the shadows and lies of their culture will never be understood, let alone believed by the masses. We're there. We see the clouds. But we need to, I come from a business standpoint, we need to develop some sort of a marketing plan that we can get our product to the public. We've got the product. We've got the mousetrap. But nobody knows about it, or if they hear about it, they're going to discredit it. And it's up to us. I don't know how we do this, but we.
Me neither.
But it has to be done, because your message would just fall dead if you can't get it delivered in the right way.
Amen. Amen. So JR, that you tell me yesterday about a radio show you were listening to.
Yep.
Would that pastor, you think, ever spoken out against the public schools?
Well, you know, there comes a point where they are going to see it, but it's going to be that point where the money fails or something bad.
Would he right now speak out against the public schools?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
No, no. Why? Why do you think?
He doesn't know any better.
Well,
it's not internalized.
Folks, how do we know that it's not good to send our kids into the inner city after midnight by themselves? But yeah, we can't see. It's not okay to send them into the public schools. How can we not see? How can we not see it? I hear you, JR. It's not internalized.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Coach, you know, part of JR's marketing plan, which is a great idea, don't you think that's going to involve revival? Because without revival, there probably isn't much hope for the majority.
In prayer.
No. Yeah, I'm with you on that. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it.
The other thing is we're not aware of the spirit of the living God that's in us. We are not aware of it. If we were aware of it, we'd be doing something or saying something. Because the spirit of the living God tells, that's what tells you, Coach, to do the things you do and say the things you do in the way you say them. It's because the spirit of God is the center of everything. And we're not even educated to understand that.
And I know, man. So listen, JR, everybody, we're fighting this uphill battle. What I'm trying to show us today is what our opponent, and tomorrow or Monday, what our opponents, what kind of strategy they have. See, they know our strategy, but we don't know theirs. We don't recognize what it is that they've done to us, how they've entrapped us. And that's what I want to do. What you got going tomorrow on your show, JR?
We got a... We've got the court systems and how they're becoming the parents of children. We've got a guy from Missouri his wife got in a car accident. She was given custody of the child, divorce. And the husband, I'm sorry, the live-in is now has his son, and he's having to pay child support for his own son that he can't get.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole nother one, man. The destruction of manhood in the courts, fatherhood, all that stuff. Natural family, brother, it's under attack. Hey, folks, got to run. We'll be back here on Monday, and I'm going to get into more Southern Poverty Law Center, People for the American Way, American Civil Liberties Union, and all these cores of National Education Association, the devil's team, the plays they're running, and why are we so oblivious to them? Have a great weekend. Hey, pray for us down in Kentucky. We're going to just pray the Lord does great things down there in Louisville. God bless you. We'll see you. I'll see you on Monday morning.